I'd really be surprised, folks. I'd really be surprised if Bill Barr doesn't get fired within 2 weeks. I'd be surprised if you don't see Bill Barr getting fired. And the president has to walk a really thin line here with what's going on. But while that's going on, I'm going to talk about that for a second. But while that's going on, you've also got President Trump trying to strong arm Governor Kemp. Did you see that? He's trying to leverage Governor Kemp to give him a signature match on the ballots, on the absentee ballots, because he wants to go through and tick and tie every one of those ballots and go through and throw them out to try to turn the election. So we're going to talk about that too. He's trying to leverage, twist, get what he wants. Stay tuned. We're going to talk about that. But the first thing is, I'd be surprised, like I said, if Bill Barr isn't gone in 2 weeks. Have a listen to Trump yesterday.
Confidence in Bill Barr?
Ask me that in a number of weeks from now.
Ask me that in a number of weeks. If he lasts that long, it might be evident in a number of weeks if he has any trust in Bill Barr. So not only do you have Trump kind of kicking up some dust around Attorney General Bill Barr, but Attorney General Bill Barr is really getting under some pressure right now, and you've got the Freedom Caucus. You remember those guys. The Freedom Caucus is kicking up some dust now, and they had this to say. Have a listen to this.
You know, I agree with my colleagues to say where there's smoke, there's fire. You have to start somewhere. And there's credible evidence, there's credible testimony that there are problems here.
You've got credible testimony that there are problems here. What's amounting to the credible testimony, folks, is a lot of hearsay. And like Bill Barr has said, and you can't help but agree with the guy at this stage, but what Bill Barr has said is that there's not enough out there that he thinks is credible to change the outcome of the election. There just isn't. There's not enough out there of so-called election fraud to change the outcome. Take Georgia. You know, we've talked about Georgia quite extensively, but take Georgia, for example. You know that they've done three recounts. The middle recount was a total hand recount of 5 million ballots. And that's where they're looking at the ballots. They're running them through the machine. They're counting the ballots. They're comparing those to the vote counts that are in the machine. And nothing. In fact, they found a few votes that actually benefited Donald Trump in that recount. But there has been nothing fraudulent that's come out of that recount. Nothing. So Bill Barr is correct to say that he doesn't see anything that would change the outcome of the election. You've had a little bit of testimony in some of the Giuliani clown show deals, press conferences that he's put on, where people have said things, and three votes here. There's just not enough. Yet if you dig deep enough, you're going to find someone that's going to sign an affidavit that's going to say, I saw something where they didn't let me as a poll watcher get close enough to that table. Well, yeah, there's a pandemic going on. Would you want someone that's kind of like got their head over your shoulder, breathing on you, looking at the ballot? No, you don't want anybody that close. I mean, this is stuff that you would not expect, that's not reasonable to expect in the middle of a pandemic. And they're trying to make something out of that. They wouldn't let me close enough because they're doing something wrong. No, they're not doing something wrong. They don't want you breathing over their shoulder. I mean, I don't blame them. I wouldn't want you. God, I wouldn't want to be working for $15 an hour counting ballots and having some rabid Republican or whomever sitting over my shoulder breathing on me saying, you know, No, stand back. But like you said, you know, there's not enough there to change the outcome. But the thing is, folks, if Donald Trump thinks that there's enough that Bill Barr actually has in his possession in terms of evidence, if he thinks that there's enough there, he'll get fired and he'll get access to that. And in the news, too, I don't know if you saw that, but there was a Trump aide. It was kind of glossed over in yesterday's news. There was a Trump aide that was banned, literally banned from the DOJ premises after she pressured Department of Justice staff to allow her to access information that she thought they were hiding that could help Donald Trump. Did you see that? A Trump aide banned from the Department of Justice. So it's ramping up. And like I said, I'd be surprised if Bill Barr lives as the Attorney General for another 2 weeks. So all this talk about so-called election fraud, folks, has been really good for Donald Trump's bank account. I can't help but stress this enough. There was a report, I think it was Josh Dazy with the Washington Post, tweeted yesterday that they think that Trump has been able to rake in $200 million into a Save America PAC. And you've heard me talk about the Save America PAC. That is a leadership PAC. There's a lot less regulations on how he has to spend, on how he can spend the money. And did you know, folks, that this shocked the Sam Hell out of me. Did you know that Donald Trump can actually take that money? Let's say there's $200 in the Save America PAC. He can actually take that money out of the PAC and put it into his bank account. And the only thing that he has to do is claim that money on his taxes, which obviously might be a problem, right? I mean, he's had issues with claiming things on his taxes. And let's face it, he hasn't paid hardly any taxes for 5 years. So this could be a problem. But to get access to that $200 million, all he's got to do is claim it on his taxes. It's that easy for him to funnel that money into his bank account. So this has been lucrative. We can't deny the fact that this has been a hell of a lucrative run by claiming election fraud. It's like a lottery ticket that he knew was going to win. He knew it was going to win. So if he took that $200 million and he put all of that into his bank account, he'd actually have to claim, what, roughly $100 million of it? So he gets to keep $100 million. If he wanted to, he could. And money, folks, is a great motivator for a lot of people, including Donald Trump. It's a hell of a motivator. And I can't help but believe that all of this talk about election fraud has been incredibly lucrative for Donald Trump, which is why he's doing what he's doing. But the thing about this is, folks, you can't scream fraud. You can't stand there and scream fraud and then expect turnout in the Georgia runoff, the Senate runoff. It just doesn't work that way. So this is working against the runoff. You've got Trump over here. He's monetizing it. Woohoo! Look at the money that's coming in, $200 million. You got to be kidding me. So you can't monetize election fraud over here and then say, oh, but wait, there's a Senate runoff over here that's happening in Georgia. And these people think that because of the election fraud, there's no sense in even turning out. So you can't scream fraud and then expect a turnout. So it's going to have an effect on the Senate race. And that's a very delicate needle that has to be threaded. And Donald Trump is trying to thread that needle this way. So that's the problem. Fraud over here, people don't want to turn out, is the danger over here. So what is Trump doing to try to make this work to his advantage by actually keeping the money flowing into that Save America PAC at the same time? So what he's said was, and here's a tweet that I want you to take a look at. So he said this yesterday at 10:31 a.m., and it's something to the effect that Kemp must allow signature verification match on the presidential election. If that happens, we quickly and easily win the state. So what Donald Trump is doing is he's giving Brian Kemp here a grand bargain. The big deal maker, Donald Trump, is playing chess with Brian Kemp, folks. So what he's saying is that I want to do a signature match over here because I know that I can probably complain about absentee ballots not having T's crossed on the signature match and I's dotted. He wants to take every ballot in Georgia that's an absentee ballot that's known to be leaning Democratic, absentee ballots. So he wants to take each one of those like they did in Florida. Remember the dangling Chad thing where they held the Chads up, you know, where the machine punched and then one of the Chads was hanging and they couldn't tell if it was a Gore vote or a Bush vote. Donald Trump wants to recreate that sort of situation on a vote-by-vote basis in Georgia with the absentee ballots. So he wants to look at the signatures and say, oh, hold it. Look, the loop on this L isn't matching up what they have on the system from, say, 10 years ago, or the T isn't crossed the same way. He wants to do that so that he can actually theoretically gain an advantage by throwing out those votes. That's what he wants. It's a clown show, but that's what he wants to do. So he's telling Governor Kemp, hey, listen, if you let me do this, you're going to win over here because people are going to start showing up again to the, they're going to come into the runoff and they're going to vote and there'll be confidence in the election. If you let me do this, and Loeffler and Perdue will win big. So that's the bargain that Donald Trump is trying to do right now. That's the grand bargain. But folks, the three recounts that were done and the one full hand recount, I mean, there doesn't need to be any more vote counting in Georgia. So from Governor Kemp's point of view, they've done three recounts. They've done a manual recount of 5 million votes. They're done. They're done. I mean, there's no sense in actually going back and counting any more votes. I mean, it's done. But Donald Trump is going to go to Georgia on Saturday, and I guarantee you he's going to, that is the demand that he's going to state once again. I want to do a signature match so I can make a clown show out of this and debate every signature. And if you let me do that, you're going to win big in the Senate. So that's what he's going to do. He's not going to get what he wants. So the whole thing is going to end up being, are people going to show up because they think the election was fraudulent? You know, the Republicans, are they going to show up in enough numbers to actually, you know, vote for those two candidates, Loeffler and Perdue? But the real question here, folks, when you get down to Loeffler and Perdue, I mean, let's face it, who in their right mind would think that these two millionaires, Loeffler and Perdue, are going to make Georgians' life any better? I mean, the idea that a millionaire is going to make a middle-income guy's life any better is a fallacy. It's a fantasy. It's a true fantasy. Just look at Donald Trump, a billionaire, and look what he did for middle America. Is your life any better as a result of that billionaire being in office? I don't think so. Did he put any more money in your bank account? I don't think so. So that's the real question here, is why would anybody think in the first place that two millionaires, one of them probably a billionaire, Loeffler, and then you've got Perdue over here, who's one of the biggest stock traders in the Senate. It's amazing that he had time to do anything else with the amount of trades that he was doing. What, 2,600 stock trades a month? So really, I mean, the thinking here is, what is a millionaire going to do for someone in the middle class? I mean, these two are going to look out for themselves, and you know that's exactly what's going to happen. So don't expect millionaires to help you out, folks. It's probably not a good bet. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to the Rusted Culture Podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, and Pandora too.